Good morning. I welcome everybody in the name of the Lord to this worship service. It's wonderful that you are here. We do have some visitors. Members, please make sure you see them and greet them warmly. And guests, we have a meal today and you are more than welcome to stay and eat. I'll even go last so you guys get to go first. But welcome. Welcome, welcome. I didn't know about the part about cutting my sermon in half. He said abbreviated. That doesn't mean in half, does it? At the beginning of this series, I stated there were three pillars upon which Christianity rests. The first pillar is that there is a God, and that only those who are blinded by Satan cannot see God and His creation. Second, I mentioned the second pillar, which is the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God is how He reveals Himself to us, how He reveals how we as human beings should live, and about our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's our third pillar. The third pillar upon which Christianity rests is Jesus Christ. He is the center of the Old Testament, and He is the center of the New Testament. There is no salvation in any other name upon this earth. And today we are going to be discussing Jesus. I mentioned to you that we are going to be going over the elementary teachings of the Bible. The ABCs, if you will, of Christianity. If we want people to know about God, we need to know these so well that we, the members of the Lord's church, can tell others about Him, because you are His evangelistic tool in this world, whether you want to be or not, and we need to know these things. First off, even in our modern world, there are people who deny that Jesus Christ was a real person. No true historical scholar would do that. But there are many who deny that Jesus ever existed. Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian hired by the Roman government and in the first century to write a history of the Jewish nation. Josephus mentioned Jesus Christ. Josephus was not a Christian himself. And yet he talked about Jesus who had lived only the generation before he had. And he mentioned that Jesus was a doer of wonder works that are known about by all people in Palestine. He mentioned that this Jesus had been condemned by Pilate and hung upon a cross. And he even mentioned that it has been taught by these Christians that on the third day He rose from the dead. Only one generation after Jesus, and this Jewish historian had known and heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may not have been a Christian himself, but he testified to the fact that Jesus was a real person. There was also a Gentile historian by the name of Thallus, a non-believer who in 52 AD mentioned the darkness that covered Palestine on the day that Jesus was crucified. And he mentioned the person and mentioned the darkness. Now he tried to explain the darkness away as an eclipse of the sun. But the fact is, he mentioned the darkness that covered Palestine on the day that Jesus was crucified, testifying that this was a true fact of history. And I could list others, but since I've got to cut my sermon in half, I shall not mention them all. But there are many more Roman and Greek and Gentile historians who mention Jesus by name and talked of Him. It's interesting. There is more historical evidence for Jesus as a true person than there is for Julius Caesar or Socrates. Isn't that amazing? And yet, modern man has no problem admitting that Julius Caesar and Socrates were real people. the historical documents that gives the most detail of Jesus' life is the Bible itself, which has been pretty much shown to have been written in the first century A.D. And it is this document which we will turn to find evidence of a claim that Jesus made. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He equated himself equal with God. First off, fulfillment of prophecy. I mentioned to you, I guess it's been 3 weeks ago now, that 60 Old Testament prophecies, major prophecies, had been fulfilled in the life of Jesus. But also 270, what they call details of these prophecies, have also been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself claimed that he was a fulfillment of prophecy and of the law. Let's listen to this. This is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes of the congregation of the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus claimed to be fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There were other times that Jesus made this claim. In Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Don't think that I have come to destroy the law of Moses or the teaching of the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to bring about what they say." Jesus was claiming to be the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And my favorite verse in John 5, verse 46 and 47, he says, "If you really believe Moses or the teaching of the prophets," now I better read that again because I'm wrong. "If you really believe Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. But if you don't believe what Moses wrote, how can you believe what I say?" See, he claimed to be the fulfillment not only of Old Testament prophecy from the prophets, but from Moses himself. Jesus claimed to be the center of the Old Testament. He claimed to be that which he was, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, the one that would save the world from their sins. As Charlie read this morning, there are many more passages we could look at, but the point is clear. Jesus said, "He is the one of whom the prophet spoke and taught." Let me give just one example. Two. First is found in Psalms 41 and verse 9. Jesus, he said, the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend. We know that fits Jesus Christ. It's Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Or in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11, starting with verse 12, Zechariah prophesied that the Messiah would be betrayed for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah goes on to say in the next verse that the silver would be thrown down into the temple's floor And the money would be used to buy Potter's Field, where he would be, where we know Judas would be buried. And that happened. It was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. I'm not much on gambling, but I know gamblers like to use the law of probability. And now I'm going by what a book said, because I'm terrible at math. Most of you know that. But this book said, if just 8 prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the odds would be 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it. Don't ask me how much that is. It's a big number. But were there just 8 prophecies fulfilled from the Old Testament? There was over 60 major prophecy and 270 details of those prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. The probability is astronomical. That would only be possible if Jesus' claims to be the Son of God were true. It would only be possible if there were a God who was in control of the history of this world. It would only be possible if God is real. Jesus fulfilled all prophecies of the Old Testament about the Messiah. And this is a huge amount of evidence for who Jesus was. It was also said that Jesus would be God. The Old Testament teaches the Messiah would be God Himself. One of my other favorite passages, you find I have a lot of favorite passages in the Bible, is John chapter 1. Let me just first read verse 1 through 4. In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him and nothing was made without Him. In Him there was life, and that life was the light of all people. And then verse 14 tells us, the Word became a human and lived among us. We saw His glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and He was full of grace and truth. Even Jesus Himself claimed to have been at the beginning. In John chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, and this is eternal life, that people know You, the only true God, and that they know Jesus Christ, the one You sent. Having finished the work You gave Me to do, I brought You glory on earth. And now, Father, give Me glory with You. Give Me the glory I had with You before the world was made. Even Jesus claimed to have been there at the beginning. In Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, we are told an angel came to Joseph and he said, you will name Him Jesus. He will be known as Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Even the angels proclaimed that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be God who would live among men. And how did the teaching and life of Jesus impressed people? Well, let's take a look at one incident, just one. In John chapter 4, starting with verse 39, the story of the woman at the well. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because of the woman who had said, He had told me everything I ever did. When the Samaritans came to Jesus, they begged Him to stay with them. So He stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of the things He said. They said to the woman, first we believed in Jesus because of Your speech. Now we believe because we have heard Him ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. What did it take? They had to meet Him, see Him, and hear Him. And what did they find out from that brief encounter? This really is the Savior of the earth. Peter himself in Matthew 16 says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, who would later give his life for that confession, knew that he had met the Son of God. Jesus even claimed that he and the Father were one. A lot of people today would say, he didn't mean that he was God. He just meant that he was a child of God like anybody else could be. But yet, Jesus' enemies didn't translate it that way, did they? The high priest, let me come back, I'm in the wrong place. Yeah, here we go. John 5:16. Because Jesus was doing this on the Sabbath day, he had healed somebody again. You know, what an evil man to heal sick people on the Sabbath day. That's how the Jewish leaders saw it. Because Jesus was doing this on the Sabbath day, the Jews began to persecute him. And Jesus said to them, my Father never stops working, and so I keep working too. This made the Jews try still harder to kill him. Let's listen why. They said, first, Jesus was breaking the law about the Sabbath day. Now he says that God is his own Father, making himself equal with God. Did the Jewish leaders understand what Jesus was claiming? But how can we misunderstand today? And just before his crucifixion, the high priest himself asked Jesus directly, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed God? Now here's Jesus' answer. I am. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God, the powerful one, and coming on the clouds in the sky. We're told the high priest ripped his clothes. And this is when they gave Jesus to be crucified. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed equality. He claimed to be there in the beginning. He claimed to have created. And last but not least were his miracles. None of the leaders of the Jews ever denied that Jesus did miracles. As a matter of fact, they confessed that he had done miracles. But they said he does miracles because of Beelzebub, not because of God. If the enemies of Jesus could not, at that time, could not deny the miracles of God, how can we today deny the miracles of God? They even believed Jesus when he said, on the third day, I will raise again. The Jewish leaders remembered that. The Jewish leaders posted Roman guards. But not even Roman guards could keep the body of Jesus in the grave. He rose from the dead. And they had to pay the guards money because the guards saw an angel come and opened the door to the grave. They paid them money and kept themselves from the Roman soldiers from being killed because they would have died for losing the body. But Jesus rose from the dead. The leaders of the Jews did not deny the body was missing. They did not deny that Jesus did miracles. Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets. As it is written in the Holy Scriptures, the good news is about God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As a man, he was born from the family of David, as was prophesied. But through the Spirit of holiness, he was appointed to be God's Son with great power by rising from the dead. The greatest miracle of all was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was the final proof that Jesus had promised. The Jewish leaders wanted evidence. They said, do a miracle that we know you are from God. Did he give it to them? He rose from the dead on the third day despite Roman guards. No one at that time could deny that Jesus had risen from the dead. They tried. But the message went out and was preached. Let's summarize what we've had so far. Jesus is truly a historical figure. He is taught in the history books of the ancient world. When ours deny it, theirs proclaim it. Secondly, Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Everything written about the Messiah in the Old Testament was fulfilled in His life. The Samaritan eyewitnesses and Peter noticed the words and the life of Jesus and claimed that this man is the Savior of the world. Fourth, even His opponents knew of His claim to be divine. Fifth, not only did He do miracles during His life, miracles for the good of people, not for their harm, rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of God. What do you think about Jesus this morning? Knowing what we know, can anyone in this room deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Knowing this, some of you sit there, never having put on Jesus in baptism. If He is the only name under heaven that can bring salvations, then why have you not put on the Lord in baptism? And how is your lives, Christians? Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, how is your life in comparison to what it should be in Jesus Christ? The opportunity is here. Will you not come as we stand and sing?